Holy Spirit's going to teach on the, the true nature of salvation and what it means to actually live as a Christian. And part of the focus of the teaching is that anti-law is not grace. Making a whole doctrine based on being against something is never going to produce good fruit. Because it's not that we are against the law so that we can have grace. It's that through, by his grace, by what Jesus did on the cross, through faith, we receive eternal life. It's always a positive. We're not anti. That isn't our focus. We can't make our focus being in the negative. Our focus is in the positive, that we are now saved unto eternal life. Now, Holy Spirit has been showing me through things that are happening in the body, this false teaching, which he warns us against. You know, we were discussing it last week. He warns us against it. It's in various scriptures, in Jude, in Peter, and he talks about people who will bring in heresies and deceitful beliefs into the body. You know, wolves in sheep's clothing. It's happened since the beginning of the church, and it's continuing to happen. And I would say it's augmenting at this time period. Now, one of the things he's revealed to me is that this is not a new idea. This has been around for centuries. In fact, even in the beginning of the church, you know, Paul also taught against people. You know, there were two aspects. There were people who believed they had to uphold the law in order to be saved. And he said, if you're trying to be justified by the law, you're estranged from Jesus and you've fallen from grace. On the other hand, he said to those, the Corinthians, who were actively participating in sin, reveling in it, even supporting it, they certainly weren't addressing it, and yet they were Christians, and he called them carnal, and he admonished them for those behaviors. So there's this movement, and it originally came from, it's originally, the term is antinomian, and what it means is anti, obviously against, and nomos, the root word, means law or even moral conduct or behavior. And that's very much this false grace or flesh grace. It's that the idea is that, you know, sin was completely taken care of on the cross, and therefore I no longer have to worry about walking in righteousness because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and therefore everything I do is righteous. Well, if someone harms a child and they're a Christian, and slaps a child, you know, beats them, and they say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, while they're beating that child, does that change the fact that that is not sin? He does warn us against sin as believers. He says that if in 1 John 5:16, if anyone sees his brother sinning, so obviously there's a sin that can happen. We can sin. It says in Galatians 5:18, you've been called to liberty, but don't use your liberty for opportunity of the flesh, but instead serving one another in love. Always comes back to love. You see, that's always the missing part. People think it's about grace. People think it's about law. People think it's about, understanding scripture. They have all kinds of different concepts, but the truth is, it's all about love. That's what the cross was about. That's what was poured out for us. That's why God did it, for God so loved the world. We still can never measure up. Isn't that wonderful to know? As believers, we're never going to measure up to this, you know, in insane perfectionism. And that's what this antinomian was addressing. They went to the other extreme, because people who were saying, you must be perfect and never do anything wrong. So their argument against it was, no, I'm saved by grace through faith, and everything's taken care of. As if there's no Holy Spirit living in you, as if that you can't be tempted, It says it in James, doesn't it? It talks about how we're tempted. And it says that from temptation, sin is conceived. And it leads to death. It doesn't say you cannot no longer sin. It says don't do it. And if we reckon ourselves dead to sin, you know, the old man was crucified. The flesh was crucified. It is such an easier walk. And the easiest way to reckon yourself dead to sin is to ask Holy Spirit to make that real in you, to confirm his word in you so that you live it. As it says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So it's nowhere in the New Testament does it say we won't ever sin. We're to guard ourselves against it, not in some kind of legalistic vigil where we're constantly watching ourselves, which is where some of the body is. What if I made a mistake? No, not from that place. From yielding to the Spirit, it says, if we are led by the Spirit, we are no longer under the law. We can walk by flesh and put ourselves under law. Or we can walk by the Spirit and be under grace. Now people say, no, that's not true because I'm just under grace. But if you actually, you know, willfully go in the wrong direction, there are going to be consequences. That doesn't mean you suddenly have lost your salvation. No, but you've made a foolish choice and you're going to be consequences. His grace is so magnanimous that he will cover you if you yield to him. People don't want to yield because they say that's a condition. How dare you put a condition on me? How dare my behavior be a condition? But, you know, even people who don't believe in God would say there's conditions in society, right? You don't run somebody over just because you relate for an appointment. There's a condition. Oh, how confining. Do you know what it really, again, it always goes back to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not loving, you're not living in truth as a Christian. Doesn't he say that? If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I mean, God makes it pretty clear there are conditions. Not, you know, if we're not talking conditions on salvation, we're talking conditions in living as a Christian with a living faith. We're not saying, you know, Holy Spirit is not saying, oh, suddenly the cross is not enough. And that's what's being touted. No, it was done. It was done, but how we respond to it makes all the difference in the world. Whether that's at the first point of salvation, or whether we're going to live as vessels for honor or dishonor. The worst part of this, anti-law, and people parade it and declare themselves that. I'm anti-law. Well, being anti-law does not make you under grace. It means you're against the law. The law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that's like saying what Jesus did was wrong. Because he finished the law. The end of the law was in through righteousness through Jesus Christ. So then the law is bad, and it says the law is holy. The law was a glorious ministry, but not as glorious as the ministry of righteousness that comes through how? Yes, faith in Jesus. And then how do we live it? Through the ministry of the Spirit. This is why there is so much haranguing, misconception, arguments, because no one will listen to the Spirit of the living God. Not no one, but the multitudes of Christians, most Christians, have no relationship with him, have no regard for him, don't even know he's a him. Wouldn't know him if he slapped him in the face. And they're listening to other people to guide them in a living faith when the living faith, the one who is the living faith, lives in them. And they wonder why they might be confused. this is a long, long history, and it's important that we know the context of it and we understand the historical impact and the length of time it's been around, because otherwise we might feel marginalized. Because the truth is, when you start speaking truth to the body and the body doesn't want to hear, or people who claim they're in the body but really aren't, or the wolves in sheep's clothing, you're going to get a lot of flack. There will be a lot of resistance and sometimes anger. And some, you'll notice if people are really virulent in their response to what you say when you speak against false grace, that they have really been duped and they take it as precious. It becomes more precious than him. When a doctrine is more precious than Christ Almighty, there's a problem. When grace replaces Jesus, there's a problem. Grace comes by him, through him. It does not replace him. So this idea that, and it is antinomian, and if you're anti-antinomian, against the anti-law group, you will be called a legalist. But let's see what the antinomian doctrine really is. That we're saved by faith alone, works have no place in salvation, conduct is works and is therefore of no importance. That's where they miss it. The truth is, you cannot be saved by works, because he says it very clearly. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. That's very clear. There's no justification by works. We're justified by faith. What's occurred in this doctrine or belief, this false grace, is to the degree that they're fighting faith, that they're calling faith a work now. Faith just happens to you, you know, magic wand style. You know, it's because of what Jesus did. Faith just bubbles up in you and it happens. We're drawn, but we can reject, because if faith just happens to you, then what about all the people that faith doesn't happen to? Then God's failed terribly. But see, grace was his part. Faith is ours. And it's not a burden. His Spirit draws us. The Father draws us. Jesus draws us. They're for us, not against us. So if we have an issue with faith in any area, it really is getting to a place of trusting him for who he is and what he said. But back to this idea that conduct is work. So that means walking righteously is considered a work. That's where they get in trouble. Because it never says in the Bible, do as you please because you're covered. How many admonitions, how many epistles focus on our conduct? Not as a burden, but as a fruit of the Spirit that we yield to. We walk by flesh or we walk by the Spirit. It says that the Spirit lives in us. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. That part's a choice. Because this idea that sin is settled by the cross, which is true, it is. That's the glory of it. But then there's an added bit. Conduct then is considered outside the circle of faith. And it doesn't matter what you do. And this is so common. But this is called grace. But being anti-law does not make you under grace. Faith gives you the privilege of being under grace. And by faith, or through faith, you receive the Holy Spirit. You become a new creation. You then know that you were crucified with Christ. Because what's happened, it's gotten to the point where I don't have to even have faith, because I was already crucified with Christ and it was taken care of 2,000 years ago. I don't do anything. Well, if I don't do anything, then everybody on the planet for all time was already saved. There's nothing. Why do we have to preach the gospel to the nations? Why do we have to make disciples? Why do we have to seek the lost? There's no need. We already were saved. He already crucified you. And you were dead, buried, and resurrected with him. So don't worry about anything. Do whatever you like. That's what it gets to. That's the extreme of it. And because it was a very much antinomianism, very much was a response to you know, severe legalism. The legalist was all work, and the antinomians are no work. And the reason that that becomes a problem is because we're still breathing. So if I'm still breathing, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to make choices. I make choices whether to treat my husband with respect or whether to put him down. I'm going to make choices whether to yell at my child because he, you know, he's not reading.